completely still in a small depression made of dry, cracked earth, like the remnants of an ancient waterhole. A blood-red sun shone down with a light that was sharp and painful to the eye. Ryan stared up at it with a horrid fascination. From its crimson center, tongues of flame roiled and churned in a scarlet maelstrom. From the molten core sprang a white shape, whiter than snow, whiter than bleached bone. A man shape fell from the sun and landed gracefully in the small depression. Lars Hellstrom's blood-red eyes glowed, and a white-hot halo of energy burst around him like a static discharge. Hellstrom drifted toward Ryan, ghosting over the ground, feet not moving, smiling a dreamy smile. Ryan reached for his Sig Sauer, but he knew it wouldn't be snug in his holster.
Come on, Hellspawn. I'll send you back to Charlie on a slab.
Hellstrom floated closer. Ryan bounded forward, hands reaching for and closing around the man's throat. The flesh and bone were like dry ashes.
What?
Ryan shifted his grip to the dreamily smiling face, and it crumbled to fragments beneath his clutching fingers. As Hellstrom's neck and head fell away, from the empty space between his shoulders spewed a torrent of blackness. Like a stream of semi-liquid tar, it coiled and curled, a piece of shadow somehow given life and movement. Ryan struck at it, but the black fluid wrapped itself around his hand, then flowed up his arm. Sepia tendrils squirted into his mouth, his nostrils, his eyes.
Ryan!
Christy was kneeling over Ryan, shaking him by the shoulder.
It's a dream, lover. Only a dream.
A dream? Yeah.
Ryan sat up, touching his face. He felt only sweat.
It's all right now.
Early morning sunshine shafted in through the window. Dust motes danced in abundance, given a glittery glow by the sunlight.
I was asleep. You transmitted your fear to me. It woke me up.
Ryan got to his feet and checked his chron. It was a little before 7. Looking out the window onto the street, he saw Hellscale preparing for another day.
What did you dream about?
Must have been a residue of our steak dinner. Or maybe your shadow people story. Or a psionic broadcast from Hellstrom.
I would have sensed that. You just had a garden variety nightmare. I hope it wasn't precognitive.
Their guns leapt into their hands, and they took positions on either side of the door.
Who is it?
Just me, Phil. I got breakfast.
Ryan and Christy exchanged quick, meaningful glances. Her hair stirred as if from a breeze.
It's safe.
Ryan moved aside while Christy tucked her Smith & Wesson into the waistband of her jeans. Phil walked in, holding a tray filled with covered dishes and a small pot of coffee.
Compliments of the Chamber of Commerce.
Since both of the shaggy-haired man's hands were in sight and occupied, Ryan lowered his gun, but he kept his finger resting lightly on the trigger. Christy took the tray and set it on a table.
Thanks.
The Patriarch wants to see you after you've eaten. Just you, Ryan. The rest of you are confined to your rooms until you hear otherwise.
Not very hospitable.
You got nice places to flop 3 squares a day. I know a lot of people cut their mama's throats to trade places with you.
Phil stepped out of the room.
The Patriarch will see you downstairs. Now I got to feed the rest of your crew.
The breakfast consisted of double portions of scrambled eggs, several strips of bacon, slices of freshly baked bread, and a pot of the real coffee. Neither Ryan nor Christy felt much like eating, but they knew survival rules dictated they should force the food down. Both retained vivid and unpleasant memories of days passing between meals. Regular meals were the exception, not the rule, in Deathlands. Once he'd eaten, Ryan felt more relaxed, the nervous tension ebbing away. Downstairs in the saloon, Hellstrom was seated in his wicker throne. Fleur, in her leather jacket and boots, lounged against the bar, nursing a glass of red liquid that Ryan hoped was tomato juice. Hellstrom beckoned to him with a gesture, and Ryan approached, trying to keep his face inscrutable. Hellstrom's face was a bland mask. He linked his long fingers in his lap and leaned forward slightly.
Few things ever changed.
Ryan cocked an eyebrow at him, saying nothing.
Even when building a world ordained by holy prophecies, there are always low-order swine who cannot understand. and wish to tear it down. Regardless of your abilities, Cawdor, there is the stench of the sty about you.
Suddenly, Dog and Suds were on either side of Ryan. They hit him simultaneously, then pressed in on him, raking their hands over his body, his leather gun belt torn off, and his Sig Sauer taken.
You sons of...
They spun him around and threw him face first against the far wall. From behind, a knee jammed up into his groin. A quick frisk followed, then the two stepped back. Ryan turned around. Dog and Sud smirked at him, though with Dog it was hard to tell. Ryan glimpsed the opening behind the jukebox and understood the sudden appearance of the two men.
What was the manhandling all about, Hellstrom?
During your stay here, several of my people recognized you and remembered you. Especially from that little kill zone called Snakefish.
So?
I've heard quite a bit about you, Cawdor. You're almost a legend, because you're not a child of Deathlands. You're a privileged pig. The son of a man who was one of the most powerful barons on the East Coast. You traveled the country with a swine scum thief called Traitor. Stealing, plundering, and terrorizing. Many of the people who suffered at your hands have ended up here.
Get to the point.
I think you're here to steal Hellscale's bounty and sell it to the East Coast Barons so the before-time system can be rebuilt, so the Power Pigs can again rule the country.
You size-scanned me, didn't you? Did you find one damn thing in my mind that led you to this conclusion?
You've got a mind mutey running interference. I can't be sure of the impressions I received.
You're an insurgent. Admit it.
You're a maniac. Admit it.
Dog moved in a blur of movement. The punch was intended to pulverize his right kidney, but Ryan whipped his elbow into Dog's windpipe. The scar-faced man staggered back and dropped to the floor, clutching at his throat. Sud swung at Ryan with the barrel of the Sig Sauer, but Ryan bobbed to one side and lashed out with a right foot, shattering Sud's kneecap. Ryan wrested the Sig Sauer from his victim's fingers and leveled it at Hellstrom, just as Floor lunged forward, drawing the Beretta from her holster.
Tell this chill-crazy bitch to freeze!
Stop, Fleur!
The woman froze, her gun only half-drawn, but Ryan kept his automatic on Hellstrom all the same.
You're taking a very big gamble, Cawdor. Touch me and you're dead. Every hand in Hellskell will turn against you, and every one of those hands will have a knife in it.
I don't doubt that, but you'll board the last train west with me.
Ryan felt the delicate, wispy brush of Hellstrom's mind reaching out to touch or to ensnare his. Ryan focused his thoughts on a single vivid image. He visualized Hellstrom's head exploding in a spray of blood, bone shards, and brain matter. He concentrated on a vision of the white blazer turning red and wet, of that long, lean body flopping lifelessly to the floor. He powered the image with a vicious conviction, packing it with a ruthless, unshakable certainty that the image would come true, and that he, Ryan, would be happy to arrange it. Hellstrom leaned back in his chair with a jerk of his shoulders. His eyes opened wide, then they narrowed.
Get back, Fleur.
He's just one man.
Tell her, Lars. Tell her what one man can do.
God damn you, Fleur! Back away from him!
Fleur retreated reluctantly, glaring venomously at Ryan. Hellstrom glanced unhappily at the pair of pain-racked men sprawled on the floor, then back to Ryan.
I underestimated you. Consider yourself lucky.
You're the lucky one, Lars. Most people who have underestimated me aren't alive to talk about it.
Hellstrom eyed him for a long moment.
You're a treasure, Cawdor. Yes, you truly are. Hellskell needs a man like you.
I think I'd rather have you replace the tires of my wag, and we'll be on our way.
Ah, well, that's the rub, isn't it? We need you, and you need tires. Can't we help each other?
Hellstrom grinned, and his face took on a cadaverous, skull-like aspect.
Because if you won't let me help you, you and your people will die in a manner far less spectacular and far more agonizing than the late Zadfrak.
Ryan kept the Sig Sauer trained on Hellstrom. Several Sekhmen entered the saloon. They hesitated, hands straying to gun butts, eyes darting from Ryan to Hellstrom to Fleur. The white-clad man pointed to Dog and Suds.
Pay no mind to our visitor. Attend to our injured novitiates instead. Mr. Cordor.